This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. Do us a favor, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and tell your friends. Come on, I got kids to feed. College isn't going to pay for itself, you know? Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
The thing about Cory Booker is that he is so full of it in every aspect of his life in terms of T-Bone being actually from Newark. That's how they say it up there, Newark. And also being an actual moderate. Cory Booker will have to apologize for being a moderate Democrat. He's not, by the way, but he was at one point. I should say he was pretending to be at one point a moderate Democrat. It's a thing, you know. Times change, right? There was a time when Democrats ran around saying, I'm a new Democrat. I'm new. I'm moderate. Bill Clinton did this in 1992. I went to the dentist today. And I took my son to the dentist, and I also went to the dentist. So we both got our little, well, he had nothing. I had to do a shot thing. So I'm a little bit, my lip is still a little bit numb. But Patrick has 20 teeth. Kelleher has 18, which I'm told by the dentist is exactly how it's supposed to be. He should have 20 and she should have 18, which is good. Now they all lose them and the tooth fairy comes and gives them new money for teeth. It's not their money. It occurred to me today, this is where socialism comes from. The idea that you lose teeth and somebody just comes and shows up and gives you money for something. You didn't do anything. You lost something and here's money. And today at the dentist's office, it occurred to me, you know what? I'm suffering. My kids don't do anything here. And somehow I have to give them money for this. The tooth fairy gives them money. Let's be clear. So they go to bed and they put a tooth under the pillow. And then all of a sudden they wake up. They go, wow, there's money. Dad, look at this. Mom. And they think the tooth fairy came and took care of them. And it was really me. But they don't know that. I don't want them to know that because I want them to be enamored by the magic of all of it. But at the same time, I kind of feel like this is where indoctrination begins, you know? You get money for nothing. You just hand something over and you get money. Although in real socialism terms, you don't actually hand anything over to get something back. You just hand something over and then other people get something in place of that. Which is where we are in the Democratic Party. Right now you have a 90% tax on people being floated by Democrats, 90% tax. And you know what? None of this is being shouted down by Democrats as being crazy. None of it. So let's go back in time, shall we? Let's go back to 2002. Cory Booker had just lost the mayoral race in Newark, New Jersey, and it was a shame because he had presented himself as a new kind of a Democrat, you know? New Democrat, new moderate, for Newark especially. This was a guy who was going to clean up the city and was not going to be beholden to the power bosses of New Jersey politics. The mayor of Newark at the time was a guy named Sharp James. Sharp James, one of the most corrupt human beings on the planet ever was and ever will be. So corrupt, in fact, he had the Newark Police Department go out and rip down Cory Booker's signs. You know, his mayoral campaign signs all throughout the city. Rip them down. They were caught on video doing this. It was a documentary made back then called Street Fight. One of the absolute best documentaries ever made in politics. There are two that I recommend to everybody. Two. One is Street Fight. The other one is The War Room, which features James Carville and a once great political strategist named George Stephanopoulos, who has since passed. He died in a horrible dental decay accident, or I should say an overdose of magnesium chloride or whatever the hell they give you at the dentist's office. I think it is laughing gas, whatever. Anyway, that George Stephanopoulos no longer with us. Now we have the unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos, who will be interviewing Cory Booker this weekend. Go figure. But there are two political documentaries, and that is one of them. The other one being Street Fight. In Street Fight, you can see Cory Booker going up against the Newark party bosses. What's funny about it is that Cory Booker alleged back then that Sharp James was a liberal who would take your money and send it to the unions to put forward to the Newark schools. And the Newark schools were failing back then, as they are now. And Cory Booker was a guy who would stand for school choice. And that's funny to me because we all thought back then, wow, if a guy like this, you know, who could challenge the status quo, challenge the power brokers, and also advocate for something as important as school choice, could become mayor of Newark, this could be a turning point for all of us. Of course, he lost. And then Chris Christie became attorney general of the state of New Jersey. Thanks to President George W. Bush, he indicted Sharp James. Sharp James went to federal prison. Cory Booker became the mayor of Newark, and then he became the mayor of Newark, and all of those ideas, those lofty ideas, went away, never to be seen or heard from again. But the one thing that was consistent in all of this, of course, was Cory Booker's ambition. Those of us who thought Cory Booker was a new kind of Democrat, of course, surely be disappointed. His ambition, though, those of us who believed his ambition had no bounds, well, there was no disappointment there. We knew what we were getting, and we were right. At the time it was, Cory Booker decided, the people of Newark were photo opportunities. You know, you just shovel out the driveway, rescue a guy from a fire. At the same time, your law firm in Newark would take lots and lots of money in contract work, contracts. I'm talking about state contracts and county contracts. And that's what happened back then. And then something magical happened. A seat in the United States Senate opened up. And Cory Booker left Newark, never to come back. Literally. Except for today. Here we are now, January 31st, February 1st, whatever it is, 20... Well, because let's face it, the video was shot yesterday. I mean, everybody woke up today going, wow, Cory Booker... He's running for president. He put up his video. Look at this. This was not, he didn't make this morning. This came out at 7 a.m. or 7:30. This was in the works for months. So let's go for it and say it was put together last night. They signed off on it last night, January 31st. Today, here it is, February 1st, and it comes out. And everybody goes, wow, look at this. This is amazing. Cory Booker running for president. And what I found about this, which is glorious, of course, Cory Booker running for president of the United States. And in this video, he talks about, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. New Jersey! I'm from Newark. We have the audio of this, I assume. We'll play it for you throughout the afternoon. Now, other people who are not as wise and savvy as I am when it comes to politics have mocked this, saying, who wants to run around the country saying, I'm from Newark, New Jersey? Well, as usual, they have it wrong. One of the great things about listening to this afternoon show is that in addition to being funny and enlightening and that you get a great ride home and gets you through all the nonsense, you learn more things on this program than you'll ever learn in any other radio show in America. That's true. As you know by now, as being a member of the Zioli Army, I've lived this game. I've worked in politics my entire life. Yesterday, we had a whole thing where Tucker Carlson had a woman on who was talking about the Virginia abortion thing, and she was going on, and I dissected that. I dissected that almost frame by frame, like the Zapruder film, you know? And some people said, you should denounce her as evil, which I did. You should say she's stupid, which I did. And they on and on and on. But the thing that I did, what no other host in America did, is I pointed out to you what she was doing, which is spinning. Spinning! It's what they do. They make a lot of money doing it. In fact, people hire people to teach them how to spin. This woman goes on Tucker Carlson. I have no idea why Tucker had her on, by the way, but that's not my prerogative. That's his prerogative and his producer's prerogative. But Tucker has her on, and she goes on about how, you know, Tucker, you are all about taking away a woman's right to choose and controlling a woman's body and on and on and on. Tucker seemed flummoxed at times. My analysis of this was, this is exactly what we need to learn from. The kind of spin the left will employ when they don't want to actually engage in the actual argument. They'll do something called spin. And they're very good at it. Very good at it. In fact, they'll say, well, you know, as you talk about this, we'll talk about that. Cory Booker, one of the great spin masters, spin doctors, spin meisters, whatever you want to call it. Going back to that time in Newark, way back when, and looking at it now, does Cory Booker want to address all the times in Newark where his law firm made money? No. Does Cory Booker want to address the crime rates in Newark? No. Does Cory Booker want to address the times that he put people away in jail for marijuana in Newark? No. But suddenly, Cory Booker is from Newark. Now, as pointed out to me on Twitter today, that has nothing to do with people in the Midwest or the South, and they don't know why. Like, why would you want to say that if you're running for president? You're from Newark. How does that motivate me if I'm in South Carolina or in Missouri? It's not about that. This is about the Democratic primary. This is about winning the Democratic primary to become the nominee and showing the Democrats you are as real as the fight goes. There was a story today in Politico. Kamala Harris, the former Attorney General of the state of California, now a United States Senator. Kamala Harris, a pot warrior, a super prosecutor who put a lot of people behind bars. Cory Booker and Kamala Harris are going to try to outgun each other. And who was the more liberal on the area of criminal justice reform? Ironically enough, neither one of them have a record to stand on. But this is the truth of the modern Democratic Party. You don't want to engage in the facts. You don't want to engage in the record. You want to engage in the hyperbole. Kamala Harris on the West Coast, Cory Booker on the East Coast will both run on this idea of I am a Democrat who unleash people from the chains of government. Literally. I use that word deliberately. Joe Biden once said they'll put us back in chains. Joe Biden is also running for president. This is an entire race about being to the left of everybody in the race. But Cory Booker and Kamala Harris both have a problem. That problem is they have a record. A record of being tough on drugs, pro-police, and pro-prosecutorial justice. And that is not good in today's modern Democratic Party. You see, it was back then, not now. The Democratic Party has changed in so many different ways that now if you ever were for school choice like Cory Booker was, you have to apologize for it. If you ever were for the Second Amendment, like, say, Kirsten Gillibrand was in New York, you have to apologize for it. If you ever were for, I don't know, say, coal, like Joe Biden was, you have to apologize for it. Let's contrast that now with the State of the Union address Tuesday night, where the President of the United States may come out and talk about abortion, which a lot of people say, don't do it. Don't bring up the A word. Not now. Not in this climate. Please don't bring it up. And I say it's exactly what he should say. Bring it up. You know why? The evangelical voters are never, ever, ever going to vote for anybody in this kooky party called the Democrats. But there are other voters who may. There are other voters who may switch and vote for Democrats if you were to, say, have a Howard Schultz or a Michael Bloomberg or somebody else like that as their nominee. But the evangelical voters will never sway. The president will raise something in the State of the Union address Tuesday night that people like Cory Booker used to raise, that people like Kirsten Gillibrand used to raise. Social issues. Yes. As I will point out to you today and through the next couple weeks, these are Democrats who used to actually pretend to be Democrats who cared about life and also some of the other social issues that Donald Trump is finally going to acknowledge in the State of the Union address. And as the media and the left come after him for it, he is going to align and unify every evangelical voter in America towards him, which is one of the smartest political decisions he could make. And I will make this point right now. And I'll say it right now. Donald Trump, by bringing up abortion in the State of the Union address, will lock down evangelical voters and basically secure his re-election to the presidency in 2020. You know, those who are mocking this approach towards Newark, right? Forget what it means to be a Democrat in today's terms. You have to be woke. You got to be woke, my friends. Not about the Midwest. I can't tell you how many people today have said, you know what, Rich, Newark doesn't play in the Midwest or Newark doesn't play in the South. It's not about that. It's about being woke. Are you woke?
Stay woke.
Exactly. Cory Booker is trying to out-woke Kamala Harris. That's what it's about. Are you woker than her? Wokest? I can't even say it.
That's unacceptable to me.
Exactly. Spartacus. Count Grandstangela. Count Grandstangela Spartacus Booker on the Tears of Rage Band. Let's play some audio, shall we?
I had tears of rage.
Can I play this?
I had tears
my
of
box?
Rage. I had tears of rage.
Yes.
It's not working.
I had tears of rage.
What? Yeah. All right.
Here we go.
I had tears of rage.
I tell you what. Tears of rage. Tears of rage. Cory Booker's tears of rage. Cory Booker's Spartacus moment. How about Cory Booker's Newark moment? Cory Booker, when he was running for mayor of Newark, was called not the real deal. He actually had to account for the fact that he wasn't considered real. Real. He wasn't actually from Newark. He wasn't really from the streets of Newark. Now today, he's running on this point that I'm from Newark. I am from this place. I am from here. He wants that. Ah, there's so many bad political analysts out there, you know? So many bad people that go, Newark won't play in Middle America. Newark won't play in the South. Do you understand it's not about that? It's about beating all of these other Democrats. That's what it's about. He wants to be the Barack Obama of 2020. What did Barack Obama run on? He was from the streets of Chicago. He made it. He made it out of the streets of Chicago. Let's listen to Spartacus, shall we, from his presidential announcement, cut four.
In America, we have a common pain, but what we're lacking is a sense of common purpose.
What's up? Amen.
I grew up knowing that the only way we can make change is when people come together. When I was a baby, my parents tried to move us into a neighborhood with great public schools, but realtors wouldn't sell us a home because of the color of our skin.
BS, by the way.
A group of white lawyers who had watched the courage of civil rights activists were inspired to help black families in their own community, including mine. And they changed the course of my entire life. Because in America, courage is contagious. My dad told me, boy, never forget where you came from or how many people had to sacrifice to get you where you are. So over 20 years ago, I moved into the Central Ward of Newark to fight slumlords and help families stay in their homes. I still live there today, and I'm the only senator who goes home to a low-income inner-city community, the first community that took a chance on me. We are better when we help each other. The history of our nation is defined by collective action, by interwoven destinies of slaves and abolitionists, of those born
here.
Let's
stop it for a second, shall we? Let's stop it. Does this sound like he's appealing to voters in the Midwest to you? Ah, man. Sometimes I feel like I'm an outlier in talk radio. I really do. I analyze these things for you, and I sometimes get blowback. I really do. Sometimes people go, you got to say this. How about telling you what they're trying to do before we just say what, you know, everybody else in talk radio says? One of the unique gifts I think I bring to you that nobody else does is that I live this game. I play this game. I wasn't a talk show host. I wasn't a DJ. A lot of talk show hosts were DJs. You know that? They were DJs. They used to spin records, and I'm not putting it down. I'm not in any way, shape, or form. But when the FM music business dried up, they had a transition. So having done nothing else but radio, and again, not putting it down, they had to now become talk show hosts. I didn't do that. I wasn't spinning records. I wasn't a DJ. I didn't do FM radio. I didn't wake up in the morning and go, hey, let's do the birthday business. I worked in politics. I worked in New Jersey politics. I saw these jokers firsthand. I saw these people. I trained candidates. Chris Christie wrote about me debate prepping President Donald Trump in his book. I have a unique perspective. Sometimes that doesn't jive with talk radio, I feel like, sometimes, because it's, I don't know, sometimes hosts come on and tell you what I think you want to hear, but that doesn't help you. I don't know, does that help you in any way, shape, or form, just validating what you're already feeling? How about this? How about I help you understand what their game is here? Because they're playing all of us. They're playing a game. And they're spending millions and millions of dollars with high-paid consultants and glossy ads and music and advertisements and all kinds of things to try to put forth a message. And it's easy to sit back and go, oh, they're stupid, they're evil, they're bad, they're ignorant, the blah, 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 blah. They've got a lot of very smart people working for them who are manipulating people and trying to manipulate you and me. Now, we're not going to fall for it because we have values, but there are a lot of other people who may. So why don't we try to cut through the BS, shall we, and figure out what's going on here? Cory Booker is not playing to the Midwest. Cory Booker is not playing to the South. Cory Booker is playing to the Democratic primary. He's playing to Brooklyn. He's playing to San Francisco. Cory Booker is playing to the woke Democrat voters. And when and if he wins the nomination, he will then completely change his tune, you see. It won't be about Newark anymore. It'll be about his accomplishments in Washington, D.C. Right now, it's about Newark because he has to show everybody he's real and he's woke. And he came back to Newark even though he's from where? What's missing in his little announcement speech? What's missing? There's a word. It's called Yale. Yale. Y-A-L-E. Cory Booker was a Yale Law School guy, and he's an Ivy League guy. And by the way, Cory Booker spent about as much time in Newark as I did, and you did. Cory Booker went to Newark, and part of the reason why Sharp James, the corrupt mayor of Newark, went after him was Cory Booker wasn't actually from Newark. Cory Booker's whole point is that he's trying to run and to be real and woke to win the primary as being, you know, real and woke. If he wins the nomination, you'll never hear the word Newark again. You'll hear D.C. You'll hear what he's done for America. You'll hear what he's done for the poorest parts of America. You'll hear what he's done for these places and that places. And what I find rich and ironic about it is that the same guy who had to convince Newark he was from Newark now tries to convince America he's from Newark and then will try to convince America he's not from Newark. But in the meantime, he's all in on Newark, as you'll hear in this campaign announcement.
Keep going. And those who chose America as home, those who took up arms to defend our country, and those who linked arms to challenge and change it. I believe that we can build a country where no one is forgotten, no one is left behind. Where parents can put food on the table, where there are good paying jobs with good benefits in every neighborhood. Where our criminal justice system keeps us safe instead of shuffling more children into cages and coffins. Where we see the faces of our leaders on television and feel pride, not shame. It is not a matter of can we. It's a matter of do we have the collective will, the American will. I believe we do. Together, we will channel our common pain back into our common purpose. Together, America, we will rise.
Boom!
I'm Cory Booker, and I'm running for president of the United
Are
States
you?
Of America.
I wasn't sure. Thank you for that clarification. I'll tell you what. This race is about who can out-left each other. And the president is smartly going to say, let's double down to my base. Good. Smart. Smart move. Double down on my base. Because you know why? If you don't, then you're going to wind up being in a position where the Democrats continue to outleft each other and the moderate Republicans who don't really know which way to go and they may not like Donald Trump feel like they can't go with one of these whack jobs. Let's face it. Here's the reality. If I were working for the Trump campaign, and I'm not yet, I can't comment other than to say this. If you are somebody who actually worked on the campaign, you don't take pictures and put them on Twitter and go, look at me, I'm close to the president. You don't need to. Cliff Sims. Anyway, if I were in the campaign, I would be telling the president this. I would say to the president, look, here's the deal. There are Republicans who don't like you. There are Republicans who they've just never come on board with you. They think you are obnoxious and grotesque. Here's the deal, though. They're never, ever, ever going to vote for a Democrat. Here's why. Those Republicans are probably Republicans who are either falling into two groups. One, they're religious conservatives who have never found you to be particularly one of them. And the fact that you fought for them doesn't mean anything to them for whatever reason. Number two, they're pro-war Republicans. I know you're not supposed to say that, right? It's true, though. You have the Bill Kristols of the world, the Weekly Standards of the world. They are pro-interventionist Republicans. They're never going to be for Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to get us out of wars. But here's the thing. Are those two groups going to go for Cory Booker or Kamala Harris or any other Democrat? When this party is a party that is saying, if a baby is born, you have the choice to kill it outside of the womb. Or this is a party that says we should not be making nice with Russia right now. The fact of the matter is this. The Democratic Party has gone so far to the left, there's nowhere else for moderate Republicans to go. When Trump doubles down on pro-life issues, and a lot of the media goes, why is he talking about social issues? He's talking about it because everybody who's not a Trump Republican in their heart probably believes in those issues that he's raising. And there's not a single Democrat who is ever going to raise issues that they agree with. Never. Democrats may raise issues that they agree with in terms of they hate Trump, but they'll never, ever agree with any of their issues on life or any of those other issues. The truth of the matter is this. This is a base election. BASE. Democratic Party has gone so far to the left. Their base has now become a base that is almost a caricature. When the president Tuesday night goes in on the extreme of the right base when it comes to social issues, he's doing something very smart. He's reminding his base, you have nowhere else to go. You have nowhere else to go. If you care about any of these values, you may hate me. You may despise me. I may be grotesque and incomprehensible to you. But you have nowhere else to go. Can't go to them. Can't go to Howard Schultz. It's me, baby. That's all you got. And while they won't admit it at their mainline cocktail parties or anywhere else for that matter, deep down inside, they're going to vote for him. Because the idea of electing one of these kooks on the left is something they cannot ever fathom doing. But they also can't fathom telling people that they'd ever elect Donald Trump. So they'll just keep it inside and pretend and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Truth is that these issues, these social issues, have now been brought to light. Not because of Trump, because of Democrats. The minute Democrats started talking about post-birth abortion, partial birth abortion, and third trimester abortion, they brought these issues to the forefront. Trump, by just standing back and then mentioning them, has now united people in a way that he's never been able to do. Democrats have actually been able to do this for him. I should preface that by saying this. Democrats have been able to unite Republicans in a way Trump has never been able to do because they're so extreme on these issues that even those who hate Trump realize this party is too whack. They got nowhere else to go. They can't fathom somebody else being in the White House but him. Ironically enough, years ago, there were Democrats who could have fit that bill. Those Democrats are now apologizing for every stance they ever took that would qualify for that definition.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.